Good morning. How are you doing? Man, you look good. The kids look good. And this definitely is the best dressed church right now in Arizona. And it's so good to be with you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. And those joining us online today, whatever city, state, country you're in. I know I have some peeps back home in South Africa watching. So glad you're joining us and you're part of the family. And if you're a guest today, this is your first time here at Mountain Park Church. Let me just say, we are so honored. My name is Charlton. I'm the senior pastor at this incredible church. And it's been 1 week. We made it. And it's just such an honor to come in on Easter weekend and talk about the King of Kings and the Lord. No greater name than the name of Jesus. And if you're a first-time guest, please make sure we got a little gift bag for you. And if you didn't get one coming in, it's the tent outside the front of the building. There's a great team. I want to just say hi to you and give you a gift. And I know you want to know what's in you, but you got to go to the tent to get it. And so it's waiting for you. It has your name on it. And so, but so glad that you're here this morning. I was thinking about this Easter and the sermon, I kind of remembered a time in my life. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought you got away with something only to get busted? Yeah? Well, I was thinking back in high school. My high school girlfriend and her mom planned a trip during the week, and so I had to skip school. And so my girlfriend's mom said, I'll write an absentee note for you and sign your mother's name. It's a great plan, right? Well, the plan failed because I left the note in my pants pocket. And I remember the morning where I heard the loudest scream, the scream of anger, as my mom found the note in my pants pocket. And let me tell you something. She's like, Charlton. And I was like, what did I do wrong? And I remember coming and saying, you are grounded for the rest of your life. Well, it lasted 2 weeks because, I mean, come on, I'm the perfect child, right? But I was thinking this morning, when it comes to God, you know, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's not one of us in this room this morning, when it comes to the standards of God's word, when it comes to the laws of God, even when it comes to the Ten Commandments, there's not one of us this morning in this room that can say, we get an A+. In fact, the reality is we've all sinned, the Bible says. We've all missed the mark. We all, in a sense, we all get an F when it comes to being right before God. You know, in high school or at school, if you get an F, what does that mean? It means you fail. You can't graduate high school with an F, right? There's consequences. You have to redo the year and you've got to get a certain grade. You know, in the Bible, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says there's a consequence for us getting an F when it comes to sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, 23, it says the wages or the penalty of getting an F of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It simply means this, that every single one of us in this room, we've sinned, and every single one of us have gotten an F and are guilty, and every single one of us do not deserve a relationship with God. We do not deserve heaven in a sense. But God, in his love for us, in his goodness for us, gave us a gift, and that gift is Jesus. And that through Jesus, we could receive eternal life. See, that's the goodness of God. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 8. He said, I passed on to you that was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as scripture said. Sometimes people will ask me the question, how do you know that Jesus is the Savior? Well, yes, here's a clue in this passage, is that scripture for centuries, for hundreds of years, spoke about this Messiah and the Savior that would come. In fact, all the way from Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned and falled, God spoke about his son coming. And this passage, Paul writes that just as scripture said, just as prophecy, just as all the prophets spoke about this Messiah came, Jesus fulfilled the scripture. He is the Savior. He died for our sins and he rose on the third day. In verse 5 says, and he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Again, they're not alive today. This is Paul writing in his time. And then he was seen by James and later by the apostle. Last of all, as though I was born at the wrong time, I also saw him. And Paul writes about his conversion, the moment that he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. And Paul's saying here, he says, how do we know that Christ is the Messiah? Because he fulfilled every prophecy in Scripture. How do we know that he is the Messiah, the Savior? How do we know that he raised from the grave? Because more than over 500 saw him. There were eyewitnesses that saw him. This is a historical fact. We're not putting our faith in some mystical thing or some theory. We're putting our faith in a risen King this morning, a Savior that went to the cross to pay the price for our sins. He died, but then he rose that we might have new life. You see, tonight, I'm about to get on an airplane. I need to fly to Chicago to get my furniture and move it down here and take care of all of that. You know, when I get on the plane tonight, guess what? I'm not going to look outside the window to make sure that the plane has two wings. That would be weird. Any of you do that? When's the last time that you flew? Did you check to see, does the plane have two wings? No. We just know a plane has two wings or else it ain't going to fly. Well, it's the same when it comes to Jesus' death. You had to have death and you had to have resurrection. You see, without Jesus' death, we would have no hope for God's forgiveness. Without Jesus' resurrection, we would have no hope of eternal life. He died and paid the price for our sin, for your sin, my friend, for my sin, online for your sin. But he rose on the third day that we could have eternal life, the promise, the guarantee, life with God. You know, this Thursday I had the incredible opportunity of going to a water baptism. Now, yeah, Mountain Park, we always baptize on the fifth weekend of the month, and that's Pastor Jan shared about next month. And if you've never been water baptized, I want to encourage you that to take that step. That's an important part of our following Jesus Christ, is to be water baptized. But this Thursday, a mom and her daughter were baptized, and this whole section over here was full of guests, and Diane and Delaney. And the reason we did it is Delaney, the daughter, she goes to Baylor University, and she was just in town for the week, so we managed to do this, to baptize them together, and they shared a testimony of what Jesus had done. They shared to their friends and their family about this Jesus that paid the price for their sins, this Jesus that rose again, that they could have new life. And as they went under the water, they were declaring that I'm laying down the old me, the broken me, and I'm coming up new, a Christ follower, a child of God. And everybody was clapping and cheering. And I sat there going, this is Easter happening right in front of me. This is Easter. You know, John chapter 3, verse 16 said, for God so loved the world and that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Very important. You know, God's not mad at you today. He's not angry at you. He's not disappointed at you. God loves you, my friend. In fact, he loved you so much he sent his Son. But he didn't send him to condemn you of your sin. He didn't send him, you know that history teacher that you used to have that always give you a hard time with your grades? We all had that teacher at school. I remember back in the day, my teacher with the ruler. She'd walk around with that ruler. We were so afraid of that ruler. She would tell us what bad students we were. See, God doesn't come to tell us, you're such a bad student of life. You've made so many mistakes. No, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to convict. He came to call us to receive what he was about to do, what he did for us on the cross. In verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's the good news today. When we put our faith in Jesus, we're not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, this is so important. Verse 18 is so important for me to make sure. I'd do a miss if I didn't tell you that if you do not put your faith in the name of Jesus Christ, there's no way for you to receive eternal life. There's no way for you to be restored and made right with God. That's why Jesus said in John 14, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father. No one is restored to relationship with God without coming through me, without acknowledging, without bowing their heart and their knee and saying, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I thank you, Jesus, that you took all my sins, all my mistakes, things that nobody knows. You took it on the cross. You paid the penalty for my sin, and now I am restored through you to relationship. You see, the Bible says if you simply confess in Romans chapter 10, if you confess Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Not you could be, not you might be. No, my friend, you will be saved. But yes, the reality, we will all give an account on our confession. My confession is not going to get you to heaven. Your spouse's confession will not get you to heaven. Your daughter or son's confession will not get you to heaven. Only your confession, my friend, only your faith in this gift, this Savior, this Jesus, is what sets you free, what pardons your guilt, what redeems you and makes you a child of God. But let me give you three promises from John 3:16. Three things this morning that we should celebrate. Three things this morning that we should shout and sing about. The first is this. The first promise is the promise of love. God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. If I can give you any good news today, my friend, is that God loves you. He loved you before you even loved him. In fact, the scripture says he chose you before you even chose him. He chose to send his son to you. And why did he do that? Because he loved you. People ask me, Pastor, how do you know that God loves me? How do you know? The greatest picture of love is right behind me, the cross. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. The first promise, the promise of love. The second promise is the promise of grace. You see, for God so loved, what did he do? God gave. You know what grace is? Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. You see, we don't deserve, in reality, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve forgiveness. In fact, heaven should shout, guilty, guilty. You know, that's in fact what the law does in the Bible. The law condemns us. The law says, you're guilty. The law says, you've missed the mark. You've fallen short. But heaven shouts, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. There's a Savior. There's a Redeemer. And if you today are willing to say, if maybe you don't know him, if you're willing to invite this grace, if you're willing to receive this love and this grace, it will transform your life. The promise of love, the promise of grace. God giving you what you don't deserve. And then John 3:16, whoever believes in him. Doesn't matter what season of life, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter the sin, doesn't matter what's going on. Anybody who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The promise of eternal life. Now, I want to ask you this morning, if today was the day that you breathed your last breath, would your next breath be in heaven? Would your next breath be in heaven? Your last breath on earth, would your next breath be in heaven? You know, it's funny, in life, we, as a pastor of over 23 years in full-time ministry, I see a lot of people and have conversations. Oh, Pastor, I'm just going to wait till I get to 70. I'll deal with that later because I'm just going to live forever. I'll deal with that later. It's kind of like sometimes you see people, they don't plan for retirement and then retirement hits them. But today's the good news. You can have assurance. You can have insurance inside if you have faith in Jesus that your last breath on earth will be your first breath in heaven, eternal life, a guarantee, not through how good you are, not through how you pray, not through how many verses you can quote, my friend, but all because a Savior paid the price for your sin and he rose on the third day so that you could have eternal life. But you know what's better? You don't have to wait till heaven to enjoy that life. It can start today. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in the Message translation says, "Now we look inside and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, anybody united with Jesus, gets a fresh start, is created new." I love that. You know what's great about Jesus? You get to do a do-over. When you bow your heart and say, "God, I'm not perfect, but I'm so glad that you didn't choose perfect people. You chose people that could humble themselves and say, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but you are perfect. You're the perfect Savior. You're the perfect Lamb. You were the perfect one that went onto the cross. You were perfect and you took my imperfection upon you. And so now my faith is in you. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. I get to start over again." Now, let me tell you something. That's not like Monopoly where you get a get out of free jail card. We're like, well, Pastor said I get to do over. So every day, I'm just going to, you know, wave my get out of jail free card. Look, sorry I sinned, God. I'm sorry. No. It's a heart decision. It's recognizing the price he paid for you. And then saying, "God, I want to receive that." You know, in fact, the rich young ruler, a guy in the Bible, comes to Jesus and he says, "I've done every commandment and every law." And he begins to list them. Check, check, check. Just look at me. I mean, I'm the perfect model, Jesus. And Jesus listens to him, and then Jesus turns to him and says, "Here's what I want you to do. Give away everything, let go of everything, and follow me." And the rich young ruler leaves, saddened, because his life was all about him. His life was all about him being in control. The reality is life really starts when you give control to Jesus. That's when life really starts. The promise of love, the promise of grace, and the promise of eternal life. And it can start today. You know, this Tuesday night I was here for rehearsal, and didn't the team do an incredible job? In fact, I want to thank just every volunteer and servant that has served. So many people have served this whole week, Stations of the Cross and Good Friday and today. So many people serving, so beautiful. But Tuesday night, I left rehearsal and I prayed with the team. And as I was walking out, one of our staff members, Amanda, was standing there. Now, if any of you know Amanda, Amanda is like, you know, she's joy on steroids. I mean, you just need to get a shake-up, get to Amanda. She's always bubbly and happy. And so I went over to Amanda and I said, "Hey, Amanda," and I could see she was like, you know, joy on, like, yeah, definitely on steroids and then plus more. She was just, I'm like, wow. And she said, "Pastor, you won't believe what happened today." And I said, "Well, tell me." And she says, "You know," she says, I found my ring." And I was like, "Big deal. What do you want me to do?" And she says, Let me tell you the story. And she shows me the ring, and she said, "Today," she goes, she said, in October last year, my mom gave me a Trinity ring. Ring to say, you know, God and love for family, a reminder just how precious our family is and God is. She said, and she gave it to me last year, October. In November, I was walking back behind the building and the path to the parking lot, and I lost my ring. I didn't realize until I got home. And I looked everywhere at people looking for my ring. I couldn't find my ring. And she said on Tuesday, she said, "Today I was out cleaning in the back and I found my ring." In fact, we have a photo of Amanda's ring. And she said, "You know, Pastor, there's so many people that walk by the back here and different people in the pathway." And she said, "No one found. My ring was there. She said, God brought my ring." And she was so excited. And I was excited for her. I mean, that ring to her was priceless. Might seem like maybe a $200 ring. To you, might say, "What's this, $200? What's the big deal? Go get another one." No, it was priceless to her. And as I was driving home after visiting Amanda, and the Lord said to me, "What was your devotions this morning?" Because I do life journal every morning, and my devotions was Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, that very same morning, I was journaling about people that lost things. In fact, the first part of Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of a shepherd who lost a sheep. And he left all the sheep to go find this one sheep. And he finds this one sheep and he brings it back. He calls all his friends and says, "Come on, let's throw a party. Let's celebrate because my sheep, this one that was lost, I found it." And he's so excited. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story of a woman who lost a coin. She lost a coin in her house, and she lights a lamp, and she begins to, you know, move all the IKEA furniture all over the place, and she's trying to find this coin. And she's looking for this coin, and finally she finds the coin, and she calls all her neighbors and says, "Look, I found my coin." To them, maybe it was just a coin, but to her, it was a treasure. It was precious. And then he goes on, Jesus goes on. He says, first a shepherd, and then a woman lost a coin. And he says, and then he was a father who had a broken relationship with his son because his son came to him and said, "Dad, I'm ready to get out the house. I'm ready to bounce. Give me my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait." And the father gave it to him, and he went out, and he blew his inheritance, and he partied, and he did crazy things, and he loses all the money, and he shames the family name, and he ends up in a pig pen, feeding pigs and sleeping with pigs. And one day he comes to his senses and he says, "Man, the servants in my dad's house have it better than me. I've sinned against heaven and sinned against my dad. And so this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna go back to my father's house and I'm gonna go to my dad." And he memorizes this line. He goes, "Dad, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am not worthy to be your son. I'm not worthy, but please just make me a servant in your house that I can have food and clothes and shelter over my head." And so he's playing this over and over. He's getting his lines together. And Jesus says, every day that dad would get up and look, "Is today the day my son's coming home? Is the day today he's, I don't know where he's at. I don't know what's going on in his world. I don't know, but I'm believing today he's coming." Every day the dad would look, and there was a day where the dad went out and he begins to see the son coming, his son coming over the horizon. He sees his son walking towards him. And you know what the Bible says? He doesn't wait with his arms folded saying, "Psh, about time. Yeah, I knew you would blow it." No, Jesus says the dad, he lifted up his robe, which in biblical times, a man of that authority and stature would not run or lift up his robe and run. This dad lifts up his robe and he runs to his son. And the son sees his dad coming and begins to play the line. "I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you, dad. Please, I'm not worthy." He's playing the line. As his dad runs, the dad hugs him and grabs him. And I can picture the son going, "Dad, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Please." The dad turns. He doesn't even hear him. He turns to the servants, says, "Get a robe, get a ring, put on his finger, kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. My son who was lost is now found." Jesus tells the story. You see, Amanda lost a ring. And I was journaling on these people that have lost things. And when they found it, they celebrated. Amanda celebrating. The shepherd celebrated. The woman celebrated. The dad celebrated his son coming back. And then Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Listen to this. And Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Yes. Maybe today, maybe online, maybe today, you're the one person that heaven wants to celebrate. Maybe you're the one today that Jesus is looking for. Maybe you're the one today that God's saying, "Come on, would you come back home today? Because I love you. I gave my son for you. He paid the price for you. I'm ready to forgive you. Yeah, you've messed up, but yes, the greatest revelation we can ever have. We can't fix ourselves. Only God can. And he wants to." See, maybe you're the one that heaven wants to celebrate today. As every eye is closed and head is bowed, no one moving around right now. Just give me 2 minutes, 3 minutes. See, maybe today, if you're here on Resurrection Sunday, and maybe you can say, "Pastor, I know a lot about Jesus, and I prayed a prayer years ago, but I know today I'm not walking with God. I know today that I'm lost, I've lost my way, going through the motions." Well, my friend, why not today invite Jesus? Because he loves you so much. He wants to do life with you. Scripture says he knows the plans he has for you. He saw all the mistakes. He saw the sin. He saw the failure. He knows everything about you. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. Yet he loves you. And he's tugging on your heart today. Why not come home? Or maybe today it's your first time in church and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And you might say, "Pastor, you're right. I am a sinner. I get that. I've tried to live the best I can and I keep failing." Well, here's the good news, my friend. God's ready to forgive you, give you a fresh start. He wants to do life with you. You don't have to be perfect. You simply have to ask him into your life. See, the Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you confess that he died and paid the price for you, and that he rose, that you could have new life, the Bible says you will be saved. You will be restored to relationship with God. So every eye is closed and head is bowed. If that's you this morning, I would be so honored to pray with you. Even those of you watching online, that's you. I'd love to pray with you today. If you're the one that says, Pastor, he's tugging on my heart. He's tugging on my heart. My friend, heaven is getting ready to celebrate you. So I want to pray for you today. If you say, I need to come back to Jesus, I need to ask him to my life for the first time. If that's you. His eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Why don't you just raise your hand quick so I can see you. Just slip your hand and say, pray for me today. Thank you. Thank you. Just in this room, thank you. Beautiful. Isaac, no one looking around. Just if you're raising your hand, look at me. Thank you. Come on, gentlemen. I believe there's some men in this house. Thank you. Thank you. See, why raise your hand? You're raising your heart to heaven. And I'm going to agree with you today. You're going to pray the most powerful prayer you could ever pray. Up in the skybox. Can't see you much, but man, if you say today's my day, he's speaking to me. Anybody else as we close? Let's pray together. I want you to pray. I want everybody to pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you today that you paid the price for my sins, for my mistakes, for my failures. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I want to do life with you. Thank you today for a new beginning. Thank you today that I'm a child of God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we give those that raised their hand right now? Online, if you raised your hand, I'm so proud of you. Here's what I want you to do. If you raised your hand today, I'm going to ask you to take your phone out really quick. Yep, take your phone out. It's okay. I'm going to ask you to text. It'll be on the screens. I want you to text yes to Christ to the number 77411 really quick. Here's what's going to happen. Our team, our staff, we're going to give you a call and some of our leaders will call. We just want to encourage you. We just want to welcome you into the family. And there's no shame. There's no condemnation. We are better together. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need to talk. So please, would you do that? Our team would be so honored to come alongside you. If you don't have a Bible, you said yes to Jesus, we have a Bible for you at our welcome tent as well. God bless. Happy Easter.